If you missed Russian figure skater Kamila Valieva's astounding performance at the Winter Olympics in Beijing, you need to see it. The 15-year-old Russian figure skater performed her free skate to Ravel's Bolero and made history, becoming the first woman to do one of the most difficult jumps in figure skating at the Olympics, the quad.
Quad number one, a quad Salchow. Yes!
First ever. That sound from NBC Olympics of Valieva appearing to defy gravity. She jumped and spun around four times in the air and came down gracefully on the ice, landing the quad not once, but twice. Then she went on to win gold for Russia. Les Carpenter is covering the games for our editorial partner at The Washington Post. Les, welcome back.
Oh, it's great to be here. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you. So, first woman to land a quad, that was some history-making performance by Kamila Valieva. Tell us about it.
Yeah, you're right. It was amazing. She just moves so easily. And to do the quad, you know, we've known she has it. But yeah, it was something to watch. I mean, it's stupendous. She didn't miss a beat. As good as she is on TV, it's even better in person.
I bet. Well, tell me about that. I mean, you were there. How does the crowd sort of lap that up? I mean, that must have been a moment that's just going to be remembered for a long, long time.
Well, and this is where we get into the strange stuff about the China Olympics. I mean, there really is no crowd. But as opposed to Tokyo, Beijing really, really, really wanted to have some kind of fans in the stands and have some kind of a presence. But because of all the worries about Omicron and this getting into Beijing, they've slowly pulled back on that. Now they've only said they're allowing, quote unquote, invited guests. There was probably, I think I counted the other day, maybe about 250, 300 people in the stands. They're spread out, socially distanced. So there's certainly no crowd feel. It was not your typical figure skating crowd where I think people build up a performance like that. It was just sort of some people sort of sitting there in the stands looking down, wow, that looked good. And then the rest of us in the media doing the same thing, except our jaws were dropped.
Jaw-dropping indeed. Well, that was Kamila Valieva. Let's talk about another high point. American figure skater Nathan Chen also made history, earning the highest score ever in a men's short program. Tell us more about his performance.
Yeah, and this is an interesting one because Chen, if you remember back to PyeongChang when he was 18 years old, was, you know, maybe the gold medal favorite, certainly the American favorite. And it started in the team event in a short program. He was terrible. He's later said, you know, he was scared. I had an interview with him recently. He talked about feeling dread about that. He just wasn't ready for it at that age. Ever since then, he's dominated the world. He's won all but one event that he's been in since then. His top rival from Japan really did not skate well at all. So it left us wide open for Nathan Chen, and it was incredible. It really was. I remember I was on a little messaging thing with one of the people in our office, and I said, that gave me chills.
Hmm. All right, Les, let's talk about some other big moments at the Olympics yesterday. The USA's figure skating team had a bittersweet start to the games. They took silver but lost their second-best male skater. That's Vincent Zhou, who tested positive for COVID and had to pull out of the games. Here's part of his emotional message that he shared on Instagram.
It seems pretty unreal that of all the people, what happened to myself. And that's not just because I'm still processing this turn of events, but also because I have been doing everything in my power to stay free of COVID since the start of the pandemic.
Okay, so that was Vincent Zhou. Les, what does this mean for the American figure skating team as they prepare to compete without him?
He had a very good year coming into the Olympics. So, you know, going into the short program, this was his one chance at getting an Olympic medal. It's either going to be now or probably never at this point for him. So I think he was glaring all day because that his name is on the program. And as the scores come in, he's always dropped to the bottom, to the bottom, to the bottom. So you see him all the way through as each skater skates. And there's his name listed as the last name because, of course, he's not there. I think it was also unsettling for the Americans because you're right. He was right, I should say. He had stayed away. I mean, everyone talked about it. Like, we never saw him, you know.
Wow.
From all accounts that I can find, he was very, very careful and very isolated. And Everyone was a little stunned by this.
Yeah, all that work and then to have to pull out of the Olympics. And Les, let's talk about Eileen Gu, the 18-year-old skier born in San Francisco, but she's competing for China. She dazzled in the inaugural free ski big air event and took home gold. Tell us about that event.
I think she's the story of the Olympics for all the reasons beyond her skiing, and she is the best female free skier out there. Big air was probably her worst event. This was the one where I would say, I don't know if she could win gold in this. Her better ones are free ski slope style and free ski half pipe. So she still has those ahead. You would figure that she could probably win golds in those. Just the fact that she's competing for China is just sort of caught everybody by surprise. Her mother is from China. She works in finance and does a lot of work in China. So there certainly was not, a terrible shock that she would pick this country. However, when you're the top American coming up, it's still sort of a bold move.
And it's a bold move, Les, but why is there so much emphasis on which country she's representing?
It's an interesting point because I don't know if she had picked, for instance, Norway. I don't know that people would necessarily be as outraged, but she picked China. And there are all the flashpoints of the U.S. and China right now. And it, of course, is all coming up with the discussions of human rights. And I think that she's right in the middle of all of that. And, beyond the fact that she's the best skier, she's also a fashion model. She's on the cover of magazines. She's a very interesting, accomplished person. And she is competing for what I think most Americans would consider right now in this Olympics, the rival.
Right. Another story, skier Michaela Schifrin from the U.S., she fell a few seconds into her giant slalom run earlier this week. She's one of the best skiers in the world. What happened to her?
It happens sometimes that she's trying to compete in a lot of different events, and it's a course they're not really familiar with. Normally, when you're in an Olympics, it's some course somewhere, and people have been over and over and over and over again. But all this is new. It's on these mountains that essentially are barren mountains with some courses literally of fake snow splattered on the side of them. And so no one's familiar with it. So I think you're going to see a lot of things like this where everyone's kind of a little disoriented at times and a little confused. She has other events. The worry that I would have, it often, if the first one doesn't go well, what happens after? Does it kind of snowball?
Right,
and
right.
I would wonder if that's maybe something she could face here.
Right. Finally, snowboarder Shaun White announced that these Olympic Games will be his last, bringing his competing days to an end at the age of 35. Remind us about Shaun White and his snowboarding legacy.
Well, he's just the most successful snowboarder out there, especially when you consider things like X Games and the Olympics. He's won golds in 3 or 4 Olympics, which is just amazing when you think about it. It was way back in 2006 Turin when he won the first one. He kind of had that flowing red hair, and they called him the Flying Tomato. He's grown up a lot. He was 35. That's pretty old snowboarding. And I had talked to him recently about it, and he was talking about how when he's at events, he sees all these contemporaries from when he was younger, and they're long retired, have kids on their shoulders, and the photographers that used to take his pictures are all have gray hair now. And I think he's sort of feeling that kind of old man thing a little bit at 35. But in that sport, it is. And, he had an interesting story about the moment when he knew it came this fall, and he was in Austria working for a week in practice there, and he just sort of thought about how the sport has changed, all these other tricks that now he can't do, and I think he's kind of looking around the mountain and just realized this was it and started to cry. And it'll be interesting to see what he has left. He really thinks he could put one big run together. He hasn't happened that well for him this year, so let's see.
All right. Well, old man Shaun White at 35 years old. Finally, Les, in just the few seconds we have left, what are you looking forward to this week? What events?
Well, I really want to see what happens with Nathan Chen in that men's skating final. And I'm also looking forward to Shaun White, both in his qualifying, which is Wednesday, and then Friday, if he can get into the finals, can he actually get another medal?
All right. Big stories from Beijing. Les Carpenter is covering the Beijing Olympics for our editorial partner, The Washington Post. Les, thanks so much.
Thank you.